The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one
at the center of.
You that I see,
it's you that I see.
To beat in sync with yours. We ask that you give us the desires of your heart. Help us that we will run with your purposes alone. Deliver us from idols and from the things that keep us from doing your will. Ah, God, please let us not be known as people who know about you, who can talk about you. Ah, but God, who are far from you. Deliver us from hardness of heart. Deliver us from blindness. Deliver us from deafness, Jesus. Karia sekele bedo singa libra noskunde le karia tale kozande libre nakaya rarabos. Rado sekele badada bashika ya rarabashende le bedo singa libra nagela. Help us come to your fountains. Adia kande le bedo singa libra nakatila. Reketele beledo sika ya rarabashinde le bedo singa libra nakaya. Help us value your words above everything else, Jesus. We ask for renewed passion, renewed love. We ask that you ignite a fire in our hearts once again. Help us get ready for the days that are coming. Help us prepare for the darkness that is coming.
Let's go to the book of Ruth. The point of what I just finished saying is that don't wait for some scary prophetic word before you obey the things that are clear. Stop waiting for scary prophetic words. I'm actually suspecting that in the days ahead, you might not get many prophetic words. We might receive it, but you might not be told. It's not you were not called to be led by prophetic words. Your word, his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So if you're only motivated, because some of you are like that, the only thing that motivates you is, I saw, I heard. So you're going to be stubborn till they tell you they saw and heard. You know, and of course, you know how those words come many times, because someone is praying for you. If you're only motivated by, should you get a prophetic word to say you shouldn't be in a wrong relationship? What kind of evil prophetic word is that? Go and be in a wrong relationship. Since the Bible is not enough. Because I think this church, because of how much prophetic gifting there is in place, people are, you're damaged. And do I want to raise a group of believers who are driven by scary words? That's bad. Your motivation cannot be scary prophetic words. Your motivation is the word of God. God has told you. He has told you, oh man, what is good. Do justice. Do what is fair. Do to others as you want done to you. Love mercy. Love to show mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Be humble. If you'd simply take care of business like that, take care of the business of being humble, take care of the business of doing justice, be merciful, that's enough. That would take care of you. You don't need much. Okay, I know this. No, you don't need to know. You just need to be humble. You wake up that morning, there will be problems. You sense it, or you won't sense. Someone will just show up and say, come, let me take you somewhere. God will move someone. They will say, hey, there's something I need to show you. And they'll take you there. And while you're there, you hear, oh, wow, did you hear what happened in your area? They arrested everybody. You don't need to know. You don't have to have a prophetic word. God is able to deliver the righteous from evil. So he can send someone down there to come and pick you. A relative can say, I'm in town. I came in from the US yesterday. Oh, it's so lonely in this hotel. Come now, I need company. Please come over. And that your cousin or uncle or something. And he takes you over and you're in a hotel. Enjoying hotel life for 3 days. On the second day or the third day, before you get home, you hear something happen. And you say, thank God I wasn't there. Yeah, God knew. You know, God has the ability to dictate the affairs of your life without pre-informing you. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to be pre-informed to be protected. Do you hear me? Pre-information helps. One of the ways God protects you is by pre-informing you. Did you hear me also? He protected Noah by pre-informing him. He protected Lot by pre-informing him. Jesus protected his disciples by pre-informing them. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, those of you that are in the city, flee to the mountains. History tells us they were in the city. The Romans surrounded the city around 70 AD. There was a siege for a long time. Things were very difficult. And then the siege was lifted. The Romans departed. The Jews in the city who were persecuting the Christians in that same city too, fled or ran after the Romans, thinking they were departing due to, I don't know what they thought. As they ran after the departing Romans, the Christians said, remember, these are the armies that have been surrounding Jerusalem for a while now. Now the gates are open. Everybody to the mountains. This is what the Lord warned us about. And they fled to the mountains. The Jews that were pursuing the Romans turned back and came after them again and breached the city and tore down their temple and pulled down every stone and slaughtered them in the temple. And they say the blood flowed like rivers down the stairs of Herod's temple. You remember when Jesus had warned them and said, if you do not metaneo, if you do not change how you think, you too will be slaughtered. Do you remember Luke 13? Where they said, did you hear how Pilate mixed the blood of worshippers with their sacrifice. They were offering sacrifices and he killed them, blood mixed with their sacrifice. They slaughtered them in the temple too. This is almost 40 years exactly from when Jesus prophesied those things. This generation shall not pass until these things come to pass. They didn't repent. Jesus taught them, change your thinking. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your thinking, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change metaneo. That's what repent means. Change your thinking. You guys need to tell your classmates what metaneo means. Change your thinking does not mean become born again only. That's one of the things you do. That's one of the ways you change your thinking. You stop being an unbeliever. But it means change your thinking in everything. That's one of the first tracts we have to produce. What does it mean to repent? Change how you think. Like the next batch of tracts we need to make. Change how you think. Change how you think about how you dress. Change how you think about how you talk. Change how you think about how you walk. Don't walk like this. Don't shake your buttocks. Change how you think about everything. Change how you think. The kingdom of God is at hand, and how you prepare for it is by changing how you think. Change how you think about eating. Change how you think about sleeping. Change how you think about marriage. Change how you think about anger. Change how you think about everything. If you do not change how you think about things, when the kingdom of God arrives, which is at hand, it will steamroll you. You will not be worthy of that kingdom. You will be unable to participate in the eating and drinking, the rejoicing of that kingdom. You will be shut out the way Jesus said it. He said they will come from the east, many, the west, and they will sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and eat and drink. Hear me. And the sons, but the sons of the kingdom will be shut out. You couldn't find more dreadful words. Those are the words of Jesus. The sons of the kingdom will be shut out. He didn't say Israelites. He didn't say Jews. He said the sons of the kingdom. And the Christians act exactly like the Jews. They shrug it off. I better leave that thing. We are secure. We are secure. You can never be secure outside of the word that upholds all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. His words have said, that's the word that holds all things. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob will not be consumed. So if you pull out the foundation of what holds all things, so you will be right and he will be wrong. Your delusion is far worse than you know. Change your thinking about all things. You don't repent once. You change your thinking about your relationship with the Lord. You change your thinking. Let me explain. If you will confess your mouth with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, Romans 10, and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why? Because there are many gods. Oh, Jesus. Oh, help us. 1 Corinthians 8. For there are gods many. And Lord, you have, give me scriptures. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4 and 5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many so-called gods and lords, what are they? Few. Many gods and lords. They existed. They existed here in Africa. They existed in Scandinavia. They existed in the Americas. They existed in Asia. They exist everywhere.
your Thors, your Odins, your Lokis, mischievous ones, so-called good ones, all sorts, South Africa, all of Africa, everywhere in the world, had their gods, many, lords, many. They worshipped them. Their diagrams have been found from the islands to the mainlands, all over the earth, sometimes exactly identical drawings on walls, caves. They reveal themselves, angelic beings of Genesis 6. They appeared to people. They said, we are the gods that made you. The Anunnaki, call them what you like. We made you. You humans are the experiment. Marvel has a whole comic series called The Waters. They borrowed the concept from the book of Enoch. Waters, angels that were said to watch over the earth, the sons of man. And they looked and they said, these girls are fine. And they left their place and came lower down and went beyond the boundaries of what they were permitted to do. Those beings, like Zeus that slept with the queen, the mother of Hercules, the wife of a king. And they have these demigods. Genesis called them heroes of old. Mighty men, Giborim of old, of renown. They existed. They are real beings that existed. A crossbreed between sons of God and human women. They generated a mixture. Why am I giving you the background? Paul, 1 Corinthians 8, knows all of this. Why do I need to tell you repeatedly? Because you don't. From childhood, there's only one God now. That's how our brains work. There's only one God. And it's true. The next verse will tell us that. But you don't factor it in when you read this passage. When you read 1 Corinthians 8, 5, you, like me, you scoff. I used to sing. I still sing. If you hear me, I sing. Amongst the gods, who is like the glorious, you know, the song they sang after they crossed the Red Sea. Me, from 20 something years ago. Amongst everything called God. That's how I sing it. That's the only way I've sang it for 20 years. I changed the thing since. I was like, which God? There are no gods. I didn't understand what I understand now. Now, I'll still sing it the same way because they are so-called gods. This translation just went on to call them so-called gods because the translators are not happy. Why should you call them gods? But the way it's written is that they are gods many and lords many. That's how it's written. Next verse. Let's just read verse 6 so you understand. Yet for us, there is but one God. Are you seeing? Why would he say for us? Hear, O Israel. Let's sing it.
Israel, the Lord your God.
Deuteronomy 6.
The Lord is one. You shall love
the Lord your God with all your heart. With all your soul. With all your strength. I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise.
The first verse again.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God.
The Lord is one.
The Lord is one. The Lord is one.
You shall love the Lord.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul. With all your strength. towards which I come at you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up.
Stop. Thank you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And this was the point that had to be made. There are battles coming that I keep hinting you, and sometimes I come out plainly and say it. I know it flies over many of your heads. Wonder why does pastor stress this? What's the big deal now? Everybody knows. You know. You may not know it anymore by tomorrow. When your eyes have seen wonderful things and your ears have heard amazing things, when you walk in and say, no, now let's wait, people. I know we've heard it. I know everybody. But you know how the church has been wrong in many things before. Even pastor used to say that time. Listen, we may have been wrong. We may have been wrong. You know, that's the God that revealed itself to us. There are others. The Bible even says there are God's many. So, see, let us cool down. Let's calm down. You know, pastor used to always tell us that we should always examine everything. See, listen. I was there. If you see the beauty of this being, he healed up to 280 people in 5 seconds. He just said, be well. They were all well. Would the devil heal them? See, by the time you're hearing things like this, and people are presenting evidence, and you're seeing wonderful things, you're hearing amazing things, you are astonished. And they say, this is what he said. He said, here, we are 12. Jesus Christ is one of us. He was to come first. We were to come later. Story, 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 story. And you start saying, okay, maybe it's possible. Now, these things I'm describing have already been said. So as you're looking at me with your wild imagination, this is old news. These things have already been said and believed in religions around the world. They believe in a plurality of gods, of deity. And they consider Christians very annoying for saying that there's only one God. And that is why you have that passage. And this is why you must read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Because you see these passages that seem like a joke. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Someday, it will be under contention. This simple passage. He said, no, it's not. It's why, with time, I've spoken about it in the past, but a time will come. I'll take time to talk about the Trinity. The opposite of Trinitarianism, which most of you are, you're Trinitarians. You don't know the big word, but you are. People have come up with words for it for a very long time. If maybe 2,000 years, almost. The opposite is Unitarianism, where they say, no, there's one God. There's not two. There's not three persons in one. You've heard my response to it. Don't enter arguments about such things. There are three in one. Yes, there's one in one. Yes, there's one, three. One, anything that makes you happy, let's talk about the price of yam. Let's talk about the things that matter. No, this one matters. What you believe? No, no, it doesn't. Is there one God or are there three gods? Answer me quickly. Is it, does anybody have an argument about that? I heard now, so what are we quarreling about? I believe in one God. There's only one God. But you believe there are three expressions of that God. Some believe there are two expressions. That the Spirit of God is the Spirit of God. The breath of God. There's one God. He has His Spirit. No! He's a person. So when you hear them say the person of the Holy Spirit, you just join and say, it's a big argument. You have no idea. We are so sweet. You don't understand me. That thing you're saying casually, you know, the Holy Spirit, and you add a the in front, is a quarrel. It's not the. Just say Holy Spirit. Don't say the Holy Spirit. When you say that, you make it a proper noun. Are you confused? I'm making it simple now, you understand? I'm saying that thing you are saying casually has split churches. Thousands of people, if not millions, have gone this way. They've gone this way. We are not part of you. Names have changed. Bible colleges exist around. Are you Trinitarian or Unitarian? Oh, sorry. You register here. There's quarrels and fightings and splits about things. I say, while we were plucking mango in Africa and living in that hut, you read it. Any of you read some history of revivals? You hear about the oneness group, the Unitarian group, the holiness. Have you? All that. Oneness. If you just read and pass, like what's your own? You're looking for the meat of it, how the Holy Ghost fell. You're looking for how it broke out. You don't even know. Okay, it must be a name like Methodist. Okay, you're just moving. Everything you're seeing there are camps around arguments, around disagreements. Lack of civilization and poverty has helped us not focus on it in Africa. But as time is going, you people are getting more comfortable. You turn more and more. Civilization is about to catch up with you all. And you're going to want to have opinions. I just peeked into the future. So once I go into the future, then I come back to this thing. And I start hinting you. And I also warn you, if you talk nonsense in this place. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't say what you think is important. I've always said, if you have an opinion you think is different from what I've thought, give him a mic. You know how happy I am to sit down, like yesterday. You have no idea. How many days do you need? 7 days. Fine. People, we are meeting for 7 days. Let's listen to our brother. Enlighten us clearly. Why it's 7 days? Oh, because he needs to show it from scripture. When he finishes, we will respond. So you're taking notes at the end. Yes, who has something to say? That's the kind of church we are going to be. That's what we will be. We won't be any other kind of church. Ah, brother, so and so has been tuning from Lagos. Okay. You can't come here at this time. Oh, yeah, put you on Zoom. Yes. Say, well, how long do you think you need to respond? Give me 3 hours. Just today, I'll respond. All right, number one, on this thing you said, this passage. Now, let's look at this other passage. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's look at this. You see, I think that debunks that point you made here. About the other 2 points you made, I have nothing to really say to that because it's not wrong. You were right. However, they don't arrive as premises. They don't create this conclusion except for this one I debunked. If they linked 3 of them, it would have made sense. But minus this, the interpretation of these 2 rather obviously should mean this other thing. Yes, who else? Well, I am more inclined to. Now, this is why. And we look at it like that. And we, with humility, see, this is why God does not need so much to save you. He needs a large amount of humility. Walk humbly with your God. And almost nothing will be confusing. But once there's pride, I've taken a position, like the cessationist, taking a position, God cannot heal, God does not heal anymore. Since Jesus died, no, after the apostles, actually there are many versions. There are about 4 to 5 versions. God does not heal. God used to heal and stopped. Once they completed the scriptures, he said, all right, no more need for this. Sick people can read the books. Someone needs to explain that silliness to me. It's just so silly. You don't need prophecy again. You already know everything. Please, sir. Yes, but you say we don't need prophecy, but that lady who does not know anything about prophecy, she was sleeping. Then she heard this thing in her dream. And so she told him, and truly, when he went to the office, he set his clock 5 minutes to the time she saw in her dream. He got up and stepped out of his office and stood outside. Yours truly, 3 minutes later, just like she saw, the roof fell down. If he had been there, he would have died. Did that happen? Who said it happened? You know, there's a wickedness in people that pride is the worst thing I know. That's why I beg God, keep me humble. I will not miss it, though. All of you, I give you the warning ahead. The reason you will miss it will be pride. As you keep knowing more, if as young as you are, as new as you are, in many places you are, they consider you to be the most biblically knowledgeable person. After 5 years, you'll be quite potent. Even 1 year, 2 years. And I expect you to be. I don't expect you to be a child. I expect you to think. I'm excited when people think and respond and answer back and say, no, but this word, hergamos, the 4 times it occurs in the New Testament was used. I want to be able to say, okay, wow, I never saw that. Good. Okay. So I guess so. What does that mean? Therefore, in light of this other thing I said. And I'm supposed to be able to say, well, it doesn't change the meaning. It just amends it. So it shows it was a plural thing. So it wasn't one person. It was talking to a group of people. Oh, well, yeah, but the point is the same, right? Let's hope that's a kind of, even though that one would be irrelevant, something that actually means something. Who can know everything? Nobody. If you maintain that attitude that you cannot know everything, what will happen is that as the days go on, you'll get wiser. But if pride sets in, pride, and you start doing things like not wanting to be considered wrong, you're going to end up like some, you know, John MacArthur. I like that man. He says truth. Yes. Pastor, many of the things you say, he says. Yes. And all the other things he says about the Holy Spirit having packed his bags and left as a just sealed revelation. Bam, the last full stop. He said, all right, see you guys. Jesus said, I'm sending you a comforter to be with you. What's your wahala? When he comes, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. What did Jesus say was a witness to him? Book of John. The works I do, if you don't believe my words, believe the works which I do. And here you are, arguing about whether the Holy Spirit heals. Question, is the Holy Spirit with us? Yes. He was given to be a witness or to help us to be witnesses? Yes. And how did Jesus witness that the Father sent him? One of the ways was through healings, miracles, signs and wonders. So please, sir, on what basis are you taking away my power to be a witness? Can you explain to me, sir? Oh, because you're from the Baptist background. And you people, Southern Baptists, you do not believe in healing. You are cessationists, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. So that you start with where you came from. You disregard all the miracles you have heard of or seen. You disregard anybody that tells you that they've been healed. You refuse. The millions of people that have been healed in this life, you refuse to hear any. You mean you have never met anyone that was healed. Do you realize how stubborn? Now, it might be easy for you because you guys are charismatic in leaning, or what Americans call charismatic. Here, we call them Pentecostals. You believe such things. You're open to such things. So you may just go like, don't everybody know? You'll be shocked at the people. Oh, you'll be shocked. I said, when I found out Zach Poonen the other day, whose writings, very nice, amazing, oh, wow, sound servant of God from India, I believe, you know, and all that, and he's starting by pointing out how when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, he's not talking about healings or anything. We know God does not do such things anymore. That's how he starts. You're like, Oga, why? Do you mean you have never met anyone that was healed? Nobody ever told you, I used to have leprosy, I used to walk like this. This, my leg is straight. Really? Okay, when they told you it happened, what did you conclude? You stood by your argument. Why? Because you will not walk humbly with your God. You are not doing justice. Do unto others. Would you want to be believed? Why don't you believe that sister? She said she was barren, that she had removed her womb, but she has 3 children now. Why don't you believe her? Okay, so what do you say happened? What happened? How did those children come? You make sure you never repeat the story. You make sure you don't tell anyone. Recently, I was watching an interview some weeks ago. I shared with you guys. And John MacArthur was saying that all these people talking about, well, the man that was interviewing the lady in Afghanistan after the Taliban took over some weeks ago, or a month or so ago, you know, the lady was talking about how Muslims are seeing Jesus. Jesus is revealing himself to them, leading them to himself, revealing himself in dreams. They are having revelations, delivering people of demons. These are Muslims. How this lady is talking, they cover her face, they blow her face, so the Taliban won't hunt her down. And she says, you know, I saw this girl on the road, and she says she can't sleep at night. She's oppressed every night. Things come and oppress her, but she can't tell anybody, or they may take her and lock her up and say she's mad. She don't know what to do. And she, the woman, without being able to come out clearly and say, ask Jesus to help you so they won't cut off her head. She says, when he comes again, say, in the name of the one who made all things, be gone. Are you hearing? And a Muslim girl says, okay. And she doesn't see the girl again, 2 months pass. She's walking on the street. The girl comes, hey, it stopped. You don't remember me. And long story short, that when it came, those things, they used to come into my room and press me. I said, in the name of the one who made all things. And I saw a man in white walk up and grab them by the neck like this and lead them out. And from that time, they have not come again. They said John MacArthur heard about all these things. The woman kept talking about, the Muslims called him the man in white because they are saying they are seeing him up and down. And I've told you guys older stories. This one is just last month. This is Afghanistan of just last month. But over years, you remember I've told you, I mean, I've not called him the man in white, but they will tell you how they see someone come in white, miracles, all sorts of things. The man that was interviewing this lady said, I respect John MacArthur. He must be an evangelical. I respect John MacArthur. Da, da, da. I like him, you know, but he was asking the woman, but he has said that a lot of these stories about people seeing Jesus, that it's not true. It's a lie. The woman said, well, John, we don't know that name. I can't even pronounce that surname, but all over, and she begins to tell stories. All over we are seeing, so we don't know him. All we know is that the man in white has been walking in our midst. You see, and so these are the kinds of things that, I don't know, it walks me up quite a bit. You have to be, so, and this, and, oh God, if you know some of the men of God you admire, The stubbornness. Because they have been preaching it for 40 years, they cannot adjust. How dare you tell them to adjust? They will not adjust. If a miracle happens in front of their face, exactly like the Pharisees, they will say it's Beelzebub. May you never, may none of you here ever become like that.
Amen.
May you never come to a place where the truth is in front of your face and you refuse it because you have been known for saying something else. May pride not own you.
Amen.
Do you know where it ends? It ends in your killing and crucifying Jesus. Because you must silence him. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There was no argument anymore as to whether he could do miracles or not. This man raised a human being from the dead. The last time they were hearing of someone raised someone from the dead was who? Elisha. Elisha came in the power of Elijah. He was a forerunner. Elijah was the forerunner to Elisha. This guy just raised it there. When he died, he rose again. And the bodies of many of the saints appeared to many in Jerusalem. My name is Abraham. I come to tell you that the Messiah has risen. Rejoice. Believe in him. They appeared all over Jerusalem. The Pharisees called the soldiers that guarded it. What happened? They said light, boom, wow, faint. Bring that money. Bring 50. Take this money. When they ask you what happened, don't say this thing you told us. Tell them that the disciples came. You guys were distracted. You have been drinking, but you were tired. And you saw someone come and say, come here, come here. You help one of them, they drag. He said, no, it's Peter. Tell them that the disciples came and took them. Can you see where you arrive? I say, he raised Lazarus from the dead. They discussed in a meeting, let's kill him and kill Lazarus. Destroy the evidence. Because everybody heard Lazarus was dead for 4 days. If this guy keeps walking around, many people will believe. The goal, therefore, is not truth. It's to enforce your position on everybody. There's no desire for truth anymore. Can you see that? That's how mega evil can come out of the household of God. These were the Pharisees. They were the strictest sect of the Jews. They were the most religious, the so-called most disciplined. They were. And they came to a place where they would rather murder you rather than the truth come out. Even you were raised from the dead. They lacked the fear of God so much that they would send you back to the dead shortly after you returned. So that their arguments, their initial argument that he is not of God will stand. If you think this is not happening even today, you are very young. I am just warning you that you should never become it. May you never stand by your argument above the truth, or you'll be handed over to a delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2. And you will believe a lie. You will actually come to believe it. Those guys were slaughtered. Bible says when history says when the Romans came back into the city, they ran into the temple. The soldiers followed them inside and killed them in their numbers. Many of those guys were murdered. The people that escaped were the ones who believed on Jesus, who remembered that Jesus said, flee to the mountains. They fled to the mountains and they survived to an area they say they call Pella. They fled there. Christians fled. So they were not taken captive. They were not enslaved and they were not killed. The rest, they say, nobody can take this land. Jerusalem is, they died. Miracles, things that they say used to happen before Jesus came. They said they'll send the goats out there. You know, and the clothes, there are different stories. They'll push it down a hill or they'll send it out and you change to white. It shows that God has accepted their sacrifice for the year. They said from the time in their records, from the time after Jesus died, that those signs all stopped and they couldn't understand why. You would think that's enough evidence. Like, but this man, they told you guys he's the Messiah now. And he has come and fulfilled the prophecy. There's no need for those signs that have been going on for 1,500 years to continue. There's no need. No. Before Jesus came, there were rumors. They believed that the Messiah was about to be born. After Jesus came, they changed it. They said, the Messiah is coming later. Like, I'm telling you, if you hear how many things they changed after Jesus came, things they used to argue for after Jesus came, because he did not fit their paradigm. We've believed this for 1,000 years. The rabbis have always taught this. But if we say this is true anymore, people will say, yes, now Jesus fits the bill. Then they rewrote. That is what hardness of heart does to people. So I often pity people. They will stand before God. God will say, you, my enemy, you. They would rather you died of sickness than be healed. They'd rather you died in your sin than be forgiven. As long as you don't have anything to do with those people that they've been quarreling with. I am trying to tell you that many of these things do not matter as much as you think. Love God, serve him, obey him. Do I have an opinion on these things? Yes. Many times the answers to those things are in the middle. God is one. The Muslims believe you guys are polytheists. You believe in many gods. Yes. You believe in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Trinitarians. They are servants of God and men of God and people and things you read that you believe that they are men of God and all that. You love them. You follow them. But you don't know they were Unitarians. The things that are being preached right now about Christocentricity is not new. When you hear the phrase oneness, Unitarianism, there are even bigger words and many more. You hear about, you sin. Nothing can happen. Antinomianism. All of them. They are words in your Wikipedia. They've existed in encyclopedias for hundreds of years. These are ancient. These are real words. These are real battles. These are real fights. These are real discussions. These are arguments that those days, the bad thing is those days when they finish arguing and the government, state, which had gotten involved with the church, Rome, at the beginning, or the later governments, once they fix on a position, they'd force it on everybody. All right, this is the official position. This is the truth. If you say contrary. That is how many of the things you believe came to be the official belief. Because if you said otherwise, you couldn't dissent openly and walk around freely. America became a colony of UK, United Kingdom, because of that. People said, let's go to a new land where we can believe what we want to believe. Leave us alone. Those are in the foundations of America, United States of America. Let's go to a place where we can worship God freely. Because they were enforcing things also in Britain. Is this clear? When there's a threat to life for what you believe, people tend to say yes to things they don't even agree with. People tend to keep quiet and say nothing about what they believe. Because if you say it, you're a government official, you work for the government, and you come out and say, well, me, I'm a Trinitarian, me, I'm a Unitarian, me, I'm this, I'm that. You can't say it. If you say it, you get into trouble. Is this clear? So over years, as years pass, everybody will presume it is so. It must be so. There's no other side to the argument. Everybody knows. That's how often everybody comes to know. Did I mention the book of Ruth to you?
Yes.
Now let's finish 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we exist. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we exist. So the Father is the one. Don't go beyond that. We'll stop at 7, but let me read again. The Father from whom all things came and for whom we exist. Okay? All things came from whom?
Father.
All, watch. I'm distinguishing between the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a distinction. Jesus Christ is not the Father. Jesus Christ is not the Father. The Bible is plain. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is a being. Jesus Christ is a being. First Corinthians 11 tells you that the head of Christ is God. Christ has a head. The scriptures tell you the head of the man, the husband, is Christ. It tells you the head of the woman is the man. Is there any argument about the relationship between the man and his wife? Are they two? Are they one? I speak of Christ and the church. Ephesians 5. God gives the illustration so you can have sense. Why are we so complicated? I speak of Christ and the church. Christ is the head of the church. And he's one with the church. But he's different. We are two and we are one. Why? Because the church is the body of Christ. I go in my Father's house. There are many abodes, dwelling places. I go to make ready. I'll come and take you there. He was not going to heaven. He was going to the cross. Gets to the cross. Last Adam, like first Adam, they open his side. And the woman comes forth. These three bear witness. Father, into your hands, I come in my spirit. Out of his side came water and blood. These three bear witness. The spirit, the water, the blood. 1 John 5. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the washing of the water by the word, and they loved not their life unto death. What happens when you die? Your spirit leaves you. As you do what Jesus did, you achieve what Jesus achieved. What did Jesus achieve? The Son of God came to destroy the works of Satan. They overcame him by the same method. Are you understanding me? When we do the same things he did. We overcome the works of Satan. Revelation 12, verse 11. The authority we have, we derive from him. The same way the church derives authority from Jesus. The same way a woman derives authority from her husband. It's delegated authority. The head of Christ is God. They are not dragging. Jesus prayed to the Father. He was not praying to himself. Father, the glory I had with you from the beginning. God the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source. Should we read it? From whom all things came, the Father, the Pater, Greek, source. The source. There is but one Theos, the Pater. There is one God, the source, from whom all things came. Not some, all things. All things came. And for whom we exist. All things came from the Father, not some things, all. And we exist for him. Is this clear?
Yes, sir.
And there is but one Lord. There is one Lord. What is a Lord? Kurios. Ruler. In charge. The ruling one. In our language, we get confused. What brought me here? If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, it's not a saying. It's a concept which all the people, when this Bible was written, understood. We don't. You have never had a Lord since you were born. I'm not saying you're not born again. The Lords here were not spiritual. They were physical. That's why I say God's many and Lord's many. They were the gods. The Zeus's, the Apollos, the Mars. Then they were the Lords. Human beings. That ruled over people. That would say, kill this man now. Summarily, they may not have to go to any court. They could just kill them. Some Roman government tried to have some form, appearance of justice. Different societies. But generally speaking, when someone was someone's Lord, he owned you. Could own your whole family, your wife, all. A little of what you read about slavery in America, especially the southern part, is close to the concept of a Lord. They owned you. They owned your body, your life. Generally, if they killed you, they would give account to nobody. They could treat their dogs better than you if they wanted. I repeat, none of you have ever had a Lord since you were born. Do you agree now? Even your parents have not been Lord. The concept of a Lord is too powerful for modern day life. But it was the norm, has been the norm in many places throughout history. When he said, Jesus Christ is the Lord, there is one God and there is one Lord. This is Paul parroting Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Time. In Hebrew thinking, till Jesus came, let me give you another example of what they changed. When Jesus came. The book of Daniel 7 talks about one like unto the Son of Man coming to the one who sat upon the throne, the Ancient of Days. And he was given authority, dominion. Have you read this before? There was a concept of a second Yahweh.
in Hebrew understanding. Was accepted. Who is this one that is like unto a son of man? How is dominion and authority? So when Jesus says, repent, metaneo, change your thinking, for the kingdom of God is at hand, they understood Daniel 7 is the kingdom, as you've been taught here. Daniel 7 is the kingdom. He's not dying and going to heaven. I keep saying, if we are so confused about such simple things that all the Jews knew, I've answered you, I've explained it before. Why does it seem the Gentile church is so lost about many things? Oh, because you broke away from your Jewish beginnings. There were church leaders that said, called meetings, councils to make decisions, and they excluded every single Jewish leader. Even though every leader, more or less in this Bible, almost in the New Testament, almost every single one there was a Jew. They cut them out. They only invited non-Jews. They cut them out. And that's how the church, but it's called the time of the Gentiles. That's how the Gentiles seem to become the definition of Christianity. But if you want to truly understand Christianity, you remove the middle wall of partition between the Jews and the Gentiles, and you begin to understand truth. You learn from them. They knew it before you. When you add what they knew to what Jesus brought into the light, when you add the two, you have a holistic understanding. When you go with your Gentile, very limited thinking, you get into all kinds of problems, all kinds of error. Like a child coming after his mother or father is 40 and thinking you know what to say and do and how things should run. Do you know what that document in your father's drawer, the first one top, do you know what it is? Do you know where that land is? Do you know when he bought it? Do you know the man that originally sold that car that you saw him selling the other day? What do you know? I know my rights. I know my father's property. Do you know who he's owing? Do you know who is owing him? Do you know the shares he bought with Nigerian Breweries in 1983? Do you know it's worth 18 million? Oh, you don't know. Okay, I thought you know your father's. You know everything about your father's. I'm his son. I know my rights. Mr. Know your rights. You don't know anything. You valued your father's property at 4.5 million. Your father is worth 45 million. You don't have a clue of reality. And your pride and foolishness and disrespect is about to cost you. That's what has happened to the Gentile church. Because your uncle is not educated. He was your father's witness on every document. You ought to cool down and be respectful. Because if your uncle just keeps quiet, he doesn't have to do anything. He just has to not say anything. Your whole life will be subpar. Because 4.5 million will finish soon. But 45 million would have carried you. You could have done investments for 30 something million. Yes, there's property in Nasarawa. Did you know? Oh, okay, you didn't know. Why are you shouting? Go and keep shouting. I'm using that small illustration to make a point. That's what the Gentile church did. To have cooling down and say, brother, Jewish brothers, we honor you. Sorry, could you explain what do you guys normally mean here? As time has gone on, a good number of Christians have come to know this. A few here and there, they are quite very few. That's why there are people, as they look at this, you see Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacle, you say, what is this now? Is this not the law? And that's what the devil is so delighted. Is it not the law? The law. We don't even know that the Bible says that there is a mystery that God enforced and the time of the Gentiles has a date, a marker on it. The Bible calls it the time of the Gentiles. It has a marker on it. It comes to an end. It was an interruption. It was an interjection. It comes between. Things will continue. And that time is wrapping up. The time of the Gentiles is wrapping up.
The Bible says they will trample the courts of Jerusalem. They'll let you people into the city of God. You guys would pull all sorts of stunts like you have truly pulled. Interpreting the Bible so many times on its head. Because you don't understand the root of that concept you are preaching or teaching. You're acting like what you're saying just began when the Holy Spirit came. Meanwhile, Jesus Christ, your leader, the one that said you should imitate him, made reference constantly. Constantly, he made reference to these things. Jesus never disconnected. The Bible tells you he was born. Of a woman. Came from Jewish roots. Paul went into explaining in Romans 3. What advantage then has the Jew? And he went on to explain the advantage that the Jew has. And he gave a lot of advantages. He started in chapter 3, mentioned that they had the oracles of God. He continued in chapter 9 in detail. A long list of things. He said that's the advantage. They have an advantage. You know what an advantage is? A head start. They are ahead of you on the matter of the temple, on the matter of this, on the matter of that, on this matter, on this matter. So you ought to sit. You ought to refer to their books. What do you guys say about this? For everything you understand that they already knew, you build and extract the spiritual analogies from there. But for you to ignore them and jump and pass, you jump and pass, uncle. Are you going to employ detectives to track down the stockbroker that originally registered those your father's shares? How are you going to search out all of Nasarawa to find out the land? When you get there and you find a fence and property around it, who do you know he gave permission to plant on it? Do you know the man that was planting on it for a while has moved from Lafia to Abuja and that he goes there once a while, that he sublets it to someone else? If you go and enter, may you not end up with no head? No, I'll just find the man and explain. How will you explain? The man does not speak English. But the original man does. I could go on and on with drawing illustrations, but I want you to understand this. The Lord our God is wise, and he knows more than us. There are things we can know. There are things you can insist you already know, like John 9 says. You say you can see, therefore you remain blind. For the rest of the house, I'm just for the church, get the message from the first service and the second today. It will help you tremendously. The scriptures here say, there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came. What's Jesus' role? What is the Father's role? He's the source of all things. What is Jesus' role? He's the conduit for all things. Are you with me? He's the medium for all things. All things come through Jesus, and through whom we exist. You were created by him. The Father is the source of all things, but he does it through Jesus Christ. Son, only begotten, I'd like you to make me a world. That's all I'm going to say about that. If you don't understand this, as plain as it is written there, verse 7 should handle you. But not everyone has this knowledge. That's all I'm reading. Not everybody knows what I've just said. It's even in the Bible. He was talking to Christians. He was saying that not every Christian. The Gentiles that had come to know Jesus, that when they called Jesus Lord, they were not doing what you do. Can you come out? How many of you want to give your life to Christ? No. What they were doing is that I no longer will serve and worship Zeus. I am no longer one of Athena's worshippers. I do not believe in Pan anymore. I renounce association with these gods of the pantheon, of Greek pantheon, the Greek pantheon. I am not under you. I will not offer sacrifices to you anymore. Jesus is my own Lord and God from now. It wasn't, you were in church before you got born again. You were calling on the name of Jesus. You now called extra. You now call more. You don't make any transition other than a spiritual one. But culturally, you make no transition. From when you were born, they filled your form Christian. Those guys. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Those guys went from saying, eh? What? Jesus? Eh? What's that? I hear he was a carpenter. This one's worship a carpenter. It's a completely wild idea. So for them to turn their back on what they've known all their life, the same way you knew all your life. Listen, they didn't know it all their life because, their grandfather was an idol worshiper. No! From the Tower of Babel, from the beginning of the beginning, from as far back as your Bible goes back, these are their gods they worshipped. Deuteronomy 32 tells you they were new gods at the time of Moses. That's when they arrived newly. I've shown it to you. Sorry, those that are new to this, we can't open. There's no time. Moses called them new gods, which your fathers had not known. Because that's when they came to earth. I've told you, the Jews have three falls. You guys have one. That's the problem with being a Gentile. Limited understanding. Pride is bad. You talk about, when every time they ask you, what happened? Why is the world like this? You say, it's because of the fall. You refer to Adam and Eve. Nah. The fall, death entered the earth. Okay. But nobody argued. There was only one God. Nobody argued. Genesis 6 is not the fall. Genesis 6 is sons of God, daughters of men. We agree. We are breaking our ranks, right? We are breaking. It's said different stories, but the main thing, record, they say from Book of Enoch. Unfortunately for you and your arguments, the Book of Enoch is quoted in the New Testament by Peter, by Jude. So I guess, except you can prove Peter was drunk on that day and mad. It wasn't the Peter that is the Peter, we know. They came to earth and produced children. That was a mighty fall. It changed the earth. Suddenly there were human beings that went completely the original thing. They were a mixture. And since I'm talking a little right now, I should talk. I'll talk because you will eventually hear it, and I always prefer you to hear things from me. Since my heart is pure and my brain is stable, and I am called of God. So that when you hear it from crazy people whose minds are warped, and who do not fear God, You don't go swallowing. Hey, but pastor never said this one. I say it. At the risk of being said to believe heresy, it doesn't matter. Their opinions do not matter. I'm only accountable to my sheep and my God, my boss. It is believed that there were 200. They called them watchers. Said they came to the earth. And everything changed on earth. And they told people that they were the gods who made them. They exposed secrets to them. They began to expose things. They showed things. Occultism, secret, sorcery. That if you say rumu, sumu, wumu, wumu. That this may come up. This summons this. And this summons this. They taught them things. They introduced them to things that are beyond here. Because unfortunately, you guys think that you are the first project God ever carried out. Jesus Christ made angels and made other things. So, you are not the first. When you were created, the sons of God, the stars of heaven, rejoiced. So they were in existence before you. Do you agree? So how are you the first group of people that know anything? Others knew. There are things that exist that you don't know about. You people are the small boys. You showed up 6,000 or so years ago. You guys are the junior. You have older brothers and sisters in university. You're in Crete. You're in nursery too. Are you understand? I think this illustration should help. You guys are the recent guys. So you don't come. There are three kinds of angels. Juniors. Junior, go and sleep. Junior, go and sleep. Go and sleep. Put that. Carry that boy. Put him to bed. That's you guys, though. Again, I don't have time. I'm hurrying. Let's keep it simple. And I'm very serious because our pride has finished us. Pride? Pride is bad. Walking around. There are three kinds. Seraphim, cherubim, angels. That is the angels. And so this angel that is leading John all around at the book of Revelation, there at the end, John wants to bow down and say, don't do it. I am of your brethren, the prophet. Who is that one? Are angels prophets now? And the man, Gabriel, came to me at the time of the evening sacrifice. Is Gabriel a man now? So cool down, Joe. The word angelo, malak, means messenger. God may send a human being, or may send a spirit being, or may send anything. Even that thing you're calling a spirit being, define spirit. Are you a spirit being? Answer me. You don't know, you see. You don't even know your identity. And you're opening your mouth in the places where decisions are made. What do we think we know? I'm just trying to humble you guys more. Will you be humble now?
Yes.
Can I preach something? Cool down. We don't know. You think you know. And Adam was the son of... The book of Luke tells you Adam was the son of God. Let us make man in our image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Where did you see it? Tell me where it's written. Ah, you presume you knew who us was. For the man has become like one of us. How are you like God the Father? Knowing both good and evil. Now, lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life and live forever. So they employ some cherubim. Block this tree. They would have stayed in the garden, no qualms, but block the tree, please. Let me not say more. Just know this. I mean, in that direction. I don't know how we got here. Let me say this much. That let him that thinks he knows, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 2, know that he does not yet know anything as he ought to. At least, can we agree on that?
Yes, sir.
There's very much. Why do you think there's a continuing education in the age to come? You think you're educated now. You barely know Jack. We have to wait till the next class. Our next phase of education in the age to come. Oh, if you see the amount of AWO that will be happening. AWO. That's why it's so annoying when the one that can be known, you don't agree. When you reject healing, the gift of the Spirit, the one that is happening, plain, the one that is in front of you, is it the one that is secret that you now know? When the one that is open, you don't know. You don't know that A is for apple. You still think it is for animal. Some of you are too serious. Your mind is going to be, is it not for animal? Animal has three syllables. You don't teach little children with multiple syllables. Most will even say A for ant. You keep it short. Are there education people here? You pay. I heard they are going to pay you guys money to go to school. Some of you are wishing you've always felt something about wanting to teach. Mighty Jesus. These lords and gods are going to show up more and more. They've been bracing, and they will show and show and show. And people's faith will start shaking. And that's why I'm telling you this. This is still little. We can't talk too much now. If you don't know for sure that the Lord your God is one, you're confused and lost. When they stand in front of you and do amazing things, when they tell you astonishing stories, which they have already told, I keep telling you, they say that the earth is an experiment, that they broke the rules and experimented and destroyed the earth. They messed it up. Since it's a marvel, I can tell you, because I've told you this 10, 15 years ago. It's in comics. They will say, they have said, in the 70s, there's all sorts. Woo! Spaceship came down. Urantia. I said of Urantia. 1, 2. Good. The rest of you don't be interested. Don't mind them. Let them not read their books. They came. They experimented. They did this on it. They did this. They produced a man, produced a woman. Why God is angry with them, according to their tale, is that they expose secrets. Do you guys know if you... And man knew, and they're like, how dare you? How dare you tell them? You are not supposed to tell them. You guys are... This is a petri dish. You guys are an experiment that worked. Not created by God. So when you're reading the passages in the Bible that say by him were all things made, stop reading and passing. Oh yes, now we know. You don't understand why it was written. I'm telling you why. Anunnaki gods made you according to their story. They sat down, they did this. And then they agreed. Nobody should tell you. And then one indisciplined one came and whispered. And from there, man now discovered. And then this, and then that, and then that. There are many versions. It's not just your Bible that talks about beginnings. Cultures of the world have records. This is how things began. This is what it began. They have different names for different things. Your Bible is a correct record. but it's not full of details in many portions. It speaks ephemerally in some areas, very lightly, just says it and passes. It shows you that there are 70 nations in the book of Genesis chapter 11. Those nations were ruled by God. That's why 70 is the number of nations. Those gods, give it to me, Deuteronomy 32, 27, 8, 9. Those nations were ruled by different beings. You're going to go back to 7, I said. This is what they did. Let me just show you verse 17. They sacrificed to demons, not to God. To gods they had not known. To newly arrived gods, which your fathers did not fear. I said this earlier, remember? You see him calling them newly arrived gods. Have you seen it in the Bible? Because when I said, some of you are wondering, where is that one again? See there. Newly arrived. Their fathers before them did not know because they had not yet arrived. Those beings showed up. I didn't tell you what the third one was. Nimrod, Tower of Babel. And it is believed they were trying to open a portal and create a mountain, a high place for these beings. Those are the three things that the Jews consider that have made the earth into the shape it is, not Garden of Eden only. Those are the three major events that reshaped the earth. So, Genesis 6 is when divine beings came in and started claiming to be gods. So these are your gods, many and lords, many. Many. Meanwhile, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. These guys arrived and began to claim to be God. This is why your Bible is full of references to idols that are not God. And their human worshippers will make them. Those 70 nations, all of them except one, all those nations had ruling spirits over them, who became the gods of those nations. So they have been worshiping these gods forever. Therefore, when you showed up, Israel was unique. Go back. Show me what I told you to show me. Verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years long past. He's telling you, make reference to the past. That's what I'm doing for you. That's what I've been doing. Ask your father and he will tell you. Your elders, and they will inform you, because they knew in the time of Moses that you guys have forgotten. It's Christians that have forgotten. Many worshippers of these pagan gods, they have not forgotten. That's why they are back in popular culture everywhere. They are back. I've seen trailers on YouTube about what they call old gods. What? Gods of America. American gods. I've seen trailers and they are showing African gods. They're all sorts of gods from all cultures. Why? Because they are pushing the door. I've been telling you this for years. They are coming back. Ask your father. He will tell you. Your elders, they will inform you. What will they inform you? When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided the sons of man, he set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the sons of God. He shared the property according to the number of the sons of God. That's how they divided. 1, 2, 3, 4. They divided. How many are you? Then they shared the earth according to the number of the sons of God. Most of your Bibles say sons of Israel. Very funny. Why? Because Israel did not exist. And there were not 12 nations in Genesis 11. Israel did not exist. How could they have set the boundaries according to the sons of Israel? That's what most translations say. BSB and some others. The Septuagint. The Bene Ha Elohim in the Hebrew. The Bene Ben Elohim. Sons. Ben. Sons of God. Let me tell you what they are often called. Elohim. Elohim is not singular. Cherubim. It's plural. Many. El. Singular. Elohim. Cherubim. Cherub. Seraphim. Many. Seraph. The sons of Elohim. They were divided like this. So they had their gods. Next verse. But the Lord's portion out of their inheritance is his people. Jacob, his allotted inheritance. The rest took theirs. He took his. And that is why all of your Bible is about the Lord's allotted inheritance. Are you understanding? Because I'm about to explain to you what the good news is, which you presume you've always known. The good news is that God has thrown open to the whole earth the opportunity to be under his allotted inheritance. That is what Jesus came to do. The kingdom of God is at hand. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as your own Lord, are you seeing? And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And every time you read your New Testament and you're reading about the gospel of the kingdom and Paul needing to preach and all those people preaching, they are trying to tell you, stop worshiping worthless gods. They are not the real God. Come, let me show you the one who made heaven and earth. And when those people say, Jesus is my own Lord now, they come under his covering. Are you seeing what happens? It's not a light event. It's a massive event. It was the greatest event the earth had ever seen. You mean we can come on? How many people knew the God of Israel before their time? That is why God did not quarrel. In Isaiah, you hear him say, Jeremiah, you hear him ask, which nation changes their gods? Every nation has their God. Israel, my people, how disgusting. How can you, the most high, not the high? Oh, Gigi. Why do you think he's called El Elyon? He's God, the most high. Why is he called El Elohi Israel? God, the God of Israel. Because everybody had their own gods. Edom had theirs. Name them, Ammonites, name them. They had their gods. I am God. Which one? The God of Israel. Oh. So when he beat up Egypt, his fame went forth. That there's a God. He didn't go to them and say, come on, worship me. That's why you never notice it in the Old Testament where he's trying to get them to worship him. Oh, think about it. He didn't ever send any of his prophets go to King Ben-Hadad and tell him to worship me. Tell all of them that Nineveh that he saved. He didn't say, start worshiping me. Oh dear, pause, think now. He didn't say, Nineveh, you have been following false gods. Follow me from today. No, he said, I'm going to destroy you guys. Your wickedness is big. They say, I beg. He said, it's okay. He didn't say, okay, from now, will you stop worshiping your gods? Not once. He just said, stop being so mean. You guys are just bad. Everybody is bad. You guys, you take the cake. Will you stop? And he left them alone. Oh, you don't understand. Jonah was in the boat. They began to be in a storm. They called on their gods and they went to Jonah. Wake up! Call on your God! You still don't get it. Everybody had their gods. There was no quarrel. You guys worship Dagon. Okay. Yeah, I am. There's no quarrel. Everybody had their God. Israel was the unique one who said, you know, our own God is the Oga Parakwata. That's our own God. And people said, get out. So once in a while, God, why do you think they were always attacking Israel? They hated them and their gods. You guys think you're special. Nobody likes people being special. But they also were always waiting. Can you just sing? We know, we've heard how your God operates. Just misdo. Just miss it. As you just miss it, their gods will stir them up. Oh yeah, attack them now. Now, attack them. Balaam had shown them how it is done. Curse them, you can't touch them. There is no divination against Israel. You don't understand. There is divination against other nations, not Israel. You don't touch Israel. You don't touch Israel. Have you not heard? There's no divination against Israel. No enchantment. Against Jacob, against Israel, you can't touch them. The sound of a king is among them. You don't touch them. You haven't heard? Balaam, I would have made you rich.